And I realized if I can sacrifice some of the material things up front, I can buy my freedom and my flexibility. I could have more of it and more affordably.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Ubita, Costa Rica. Today's guest is joining me from St. Petersburg, Florida. I have got Jen Smith in the house. Jen, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have this woman on the show. For those of you that are not familiar with Jen, she is the co-host of the Frugal Friends podcast. And you've had quite a story. I know you and your husband paid off over, you know, $78,000 in debt in 2 years, which led you to write this book, The No Spend Challenge Guide, which has become a bestseller on Amazon. And you host, you know, the Frugal Friends podcast to help people overcome impulse spending and transform the habits that cause them to overspend, which I think in today's consumer culture, my goodness, it is very easy to do with that. And, you know, I know your podcast said, you know, over 2.5 million downloads, 200 episodes, you've been featured on all these different, you know, shows. But more than that, I know you have just a real passion for money, for saving, and Unconventional Life has been a great giveaway if this kind of topic is what you're into. So stay tuned for the end of the show and we'll dive into all the things. So welcome to the show, Jen. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great overview. It was really paying off that journey to paying off $78,000 of debt that led me to frugality, which a lot of people might think as deprivation, but I really have come to know it as just intentional spending, spending with intention, being a conscious consumer. And so my passion is to help people not run away from frugality, but like run towards it as a way to feel better about your money, feel more in control of your finances and your budget. Once you are practicing a frugal lifestyle, it can become very freeing versus the deprivation that people usually associate it with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even starting with your definition of frugal, I remember like even growing up, you know, my dad was my grandmother, full-blooded Puerto Rican. He was completely self-made, oldest of five. And so it was always just like, you know, got to make the dollar stretch and being frugal. And that word, I think for so many people can have sometimes a really negative connotation, or that it means cheap, or like you said, you know, starvation or scarcity, or, you know, different things like that. And I know how you see it. Oftentimes there's this beauty to it. It's simple living, minimalism, sustainability, and other different concepts. So yeah, share a little bit about, you know, how you view frugal and how you came to that relationship with that word.
Frugal, it definitely is more unconventional in the personal finance world. Everyone likes to talk about how can we make more money and then just spend whatever we want because we make so much. But I found that the more you consume does not equate to more happiness. And I think we all know that. The idea of cutting expenses or having to tell yourself no, it seems like deprivation. But when you tell yourself no for like a greater purpose, so to get more of what you really want in life. And I found that most of the times what we really want isn't to lay on a hammock on the beach every single day. That's great some days, but to buy yourself freedom. So buy yourself more freedom, more flexibility, more time with friends and family. And sometimes that time can be spent in a hammock, but when you are looking to buy more of that, it becomes easier to say no to yourself to things that don't matter as much. So to me, that's frugal. It's being intentional versus cheap, which is just buying the cheapest of everything without regard for how much you're buying or the process that that product or service took to get to your home. So it takes advantage of not just yourself and your own hard-earned dollars, but possibly the people who even made it or brought it to your home. So that's kind of like the separation mm-hmm. that we've kind of come to on our show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll plug all those links on Convention Lifers. So check out the podcast, I'll put our show notes. And, you know, I know this journey started with your husband when you both were in about, yeah, as I mentioned in the beginning, $78,000 worth of debt. And if we were a fly on the wall, and here's like the beauty I love about life is like, you don't know what you don't know while you're in something, right? And then here you mm-hmm. go, like years later, you pay it off and you have a hugely successful podcast and an audience. And it's just like, you know, as you just follow the threads, if you were a fly on the wall at that moment in that time in your life, like what would we have seen? If we were in your brain, how would you be thinking? Like, what would your mindset be like? And just take us through some of the snapshots that then led, you know, for this revolution to be birthed.
Oh my gosh, if you were a fly, it would have been probably like an episode of Friends where you know what's going on and the person in the show, like, is totally clueless. So I had said 4 years, I had $50,000 of debt, student loan debt on my own and a little bit of a car loan. And I made probably $35,000 to $40,000 in a given year. So I had more debt than I was earning in a year. And I had said, oh, I'm going to wait till I get married and double my income to deal with this because I cannot fathom doing this. Like, I just can't. When that day finally came that I got engaged and my fiance said, I want to pay off my student loans as quickly as possible. And he had $24,000 at the time. And I was like, actually, I don't want to live the best years of my life under a rock. I've changed my mind. I don't want to pay off debt. I just want to live and have fun. It was this comical, like, split second decision change. And he, in that whole night, really encouraged me to think beyond the instant gratification, to think beyond the next few months, the next few years, and to really think, like, what do you want from life? I had never sat down and thought about that, which, I mean, in our early 20s, like I was in my mid 20s at the time, you'd think that I would have figured out what I wanted from life, but I had never even thought about it. I was going through the motions, doing the next quote unquote right thing. I sat down with him and we talked about what we wanted over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And knowing what I really wanted my life to look like and what I wanted in it, not one time did I say, oh, I want to be able to like go to Starbucks every single day. Or not one thing on that list was material. It was flexibility. It was community. It was all like my core values. Those are the things that I described. And I realized if I can sacrifice some of the material things up front, I can buy my freedom and my flexibility. I could have more of it and more affordably.
I love that. And you did. And even battling unemployment too at the time, like some people are mm-hmm. like, oh, did she just have this like high paying job and she could just square some away? And I know that wasn't your story. So like even concretely, like what was your like career situation and how did you do it?
My now husband, he was unemployed when we started paying off our debt. When we got home from our honeymoon, he worked out of debt like a couple hours away up until we got married. And then he quit that job. So when we got married, he was unemployed. And that's when we started paying off our debt. So I laugh at people when they say like, oh, when I get this better job or when I do this or that, then I'll start, you know, getting my finances together. And I'm like, if you start from the bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. So yep. I highly recommend starting when you know that you're not ready. So he got a job after a few months, which was great. But in the meantime, he was just doing all kinds of side hustles. I was an acupuncturist and I worked at a community clinic. So it was super fulfilling and mm-hmm. not super high paying. I could only get 25 hours a week at that job, but I wasn't willing to do something that I didn't like as much for mm-hmm. more hours. So I filled my time with other side hustles so that I could continue to work that job even through our debt payoff. Yeah. And I don't think we made more than $88,000 in a year. So we were mm-hmm. both hovering around between $40,000 and $45,000 a year each. Yeah. And that was the max we made. And we were able to, our strategy was live on one income, put the other income toward debt. And maybe we have a little bit more to put towards debt. Maybe not. we were getting kicked out of our rental at one point, about a year and a half in. And so we had to stop altogether and hoard up cash to make a down payment. And it was when you could still afford a house in St. Pete. So we were very lucky about that. And we were already so used to putting so much money towards the debt that it was actually very easy to save the down payment too. So yeah, we did it very fast. Looking back, I would have sacrificed adding 4 to 6 months on the end of that, maybe to experience a little bit more throughout the process. But I see that in hindsight. And so, yeah, but I'm still like, I'm very glad that we paid off our debt and committed to doing it in one chunk at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so much wisdom in all of that. And, you know, you mentioned your values and getting clear on the values such that the action you were taking and what you were spending was in alignment with that. And what were some of your biggest needle movers? And for those that are sitting with this, I know so many of us have debt and it's been this in the closet, in the dark, either I don't want to talk about it or pretend it's not there or all encompassing. It's consuming my every single moment. Mm-hmm. And I feel this weight and I can't, you know, stop. But to have an empowering reframe around debt and then to actually know what are the needle movers. Any perspective or advice you can give to speak to those two things?
I felt literally every single one of those emotions at one time or another. And I really mostly felt debt as a weight and it made me very anxious. It made me want to ignore it. And then when I got committed to paying it off, I became obsessed on the other end of the spectrum with just wanting to get rid of it. And it to the point where it wasn't healthy. I have the perspective now that debt is neutral. There's no good debt or bad debt. Debt is neutral. It's how you use it. And so obviously student loans, houses, those get us ahead in life. It's still debt we want to pay off because, you know, we agreed to pay it back. I am all for student loan forgiveness if it comes, don't get me wrong, but you know, for the ones that don't get it, it is something we agreed to pay back. And I had a lot of shame for taking out student loans and feeling like, oh, I took out all these loans for, you know, a degree that isn't making me a lot of money. And I just had to like reject that and be like, the debt is neutral. It got me to where I am today. It got me to the place where I was meant to be. And I needed the debt to get here. But then there's some debt that is limiting. So it's our consumer debt where we're consuming without a lot of mindfulness. And that debt can be limiting. Getting clear on that, getting your mind right to go through this journey is super foundational. And now I wish I had started with that mindset. So the big needle movers for us were working together. Like, so if you have a partner, working with them and being in tandem with your goals. On a high level, yes, knowing your core values does motivate you in the really difficult times. In the day-to-day decisions, it's not as much of a motivator because we're craving instant gratification. In those instances, we need something that's a little more instant. We talk about internal and external motivators in our membership, and internal motivators are a much more powerful way to stay motivated than external. So external might be the rewards and external praise and stuff, but internal is the stuff we do just for the joy of doing it. And so finding the things that correlated to my core values that could save me money and I just enjoyed doing. So community is one of my core values. I love spending time with my friends. That's something I would never give up. It was the actual primary reason I didn't want to pay off my debt because I said, word for word, I don't want to live under a rock for the next 5 years, you know, and miss out on all this time. Giving up time with friends was the first thing my brain jumped to, assuming I'd have to give up if I got my money managed. In reality, it's usually the first things you think of that are the last things that you need to deal with. It's all those mindless things that you have no idea you're spending money on or don't care to spend money on anymore. The last things you're going to think of, those are the first things to go. And so identifying your core values so that you can create these internal motivators is super helpful. So community for me, I love to find free activities to do with friends. That was like a thing. I was always on Facebook events, free running groups, anything that I could do with people. That was a super big driver for me. So I would, instead of spending free time going to TJ Maxx or something like I may have done before, I'm looking for these free events to fill my time. So I'm saving money and I enjoy saving money in that effort. So I think that's the biggest needle mover, is finding the things that save you money that you want to do.
I love that. And, you know, I know you've written several best-selling books, one of them, The No Spend Challenge Guide, and How to Stop Spending Money Impulsively, Pay Off Debt Fast, and Make Your Finances Fit Your Dreams. And, you know, we're going to have an awesome giveaway on Conventional Lifers, which, you know, might include some of these things at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. But even in the guide, you know, I know you probably elaborate on this a lot more, and you did it with your partner. And I know, like, I've seen it a lot in relationship ed dynamics. I've been a part of relationship dynamics where, you know, I grew up with like the immigrant family mentality, stretch every dollar. My dad ended up becoming an accountant on Wall Street as he worked his way up the career. But even though he made more money, we never lived like any differently, you know, and I value that perspective because I've gotten very good with how I manage money. And then, you know, on the opposite, I've had partners that are like, just make more and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes there is that value mismatch. And so how do you work? You are listening to this and one of you is the spender and the other is the saver. Maybe you're both the spenders to be on the same team. Was that challenging for you, or any perspective that you can give on just how to have that united front when approaching this?
I am definitely more of a spender in my relationship. My husband would be happy just living off the grid and spending nothing. So I feel what it's like to have somebody kind of tell you to stop spending money. Even if they're not intentionally saying that, it's what I hear. And so I think coming to your partner with a view of, let's talk about what you truly value, what you want most in life, how we can get more of that, and how we can eliminate just the stuff you don't care about. The thing that spender partners really struggle with is being told, you know, they can't do something or they can't spend something. As adults, we don't want to be told what to do. You know, we get that enough probably in jobs and speeding limits and stuff. You know, at home, we don't want to be told what to do. So approaching it from a way that's like, not saying, hey, we need to cut back, we need to stop spending, you need to stop spending on all the stuff you're spending on, but saying, all right, we want to get more of what we truly want. So let's as a team figure out what that is. And even if you don't agree with what your partner wants most, if you don't value it, it doesn't matter. They value it. And so having an open mind so you both get what you value most. And then again, starting with the stuff that doesn't matter as much. And some people, their budget templates might say fixed expenses or discretionary expenses. I don't think any expense is fixed. I think everything is negotiable. Worst case scenario, move out of your house and to lower rent or mortgage and move to a, you know, lower cost of living area. So there's always something. They're not all created equal. But start with the things you care about least. And then work up to getting more creative with the things you care about most.
Yeah, so good. Unconventional Lifers, you got to check out all this different stuff that we've got going on here. I know you have so many different free resources on TikTok as well and things like that. And you know, what role has social media played for you in getting this message out there and even on TikTok? And like, what are you enjoying about it? And how are you seeing this conversation come to life in the community? And I know you mentioned that's a value of yours as well. So curious about that.
I love that more people are talking about personal finance. More people are talking about what they earn and how they earn it. More people are talking about what they value spending money on and what they're giving up. And they're teaching people. Like, the hive mind is so powerful because I don't know everything about saving money on everything. Like, there are things in Florida that save us a lot of money that definitely I would not recommend to somebody living in the cold north of Canada or something, you know? Like, there are differences in how we can best save, how we can best earn. So community on social media gives you the opportunity to hear from so many people. And there's so many people sharing their debt-free stories, which means there's going to be somebody that you can relate to. Like, maybe you don't relate to me because you're single, you don't have a second income, or you have kids, and I didn't have kids paying off my debt. Whatever your story is, whatever your life is, you're going to be able to find somebody with a similar life story.
Yeah.
just a little bit ahead of you on the journey. And that to me is the beautiful thing about social media. There's a lot of drawbacks with the advertising and the keeping up with the Joneses and all that stuff. But if you can get past that and just fill your social media feed with inspiration and motivation, it can be a really powerful tool.
So good. Jen Smith, everyone. Jen, let's transition into the rapid fire rounds. Our last segment of the show, Unconventional Lifers. After this, we're going to talk about the giveaway. That's Jen Scott, one of the listeners. So series of lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right, let's do this. Question number one, speaking about yourself, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
If you really knew me, you would know how much I love just drinking whiskey straight. That we don't really talk about that on the show, but my co-host Jill and I are definitely cocktail connoisseurs.
I love it. Well, you would do good in Colorado in the mountains where I normally am.
Yeah. I don't know if I would drink at that high of an altitude because I might not make it, but it'd be really interesting to see.
I love it. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel puts you in a good mindset for success?
Almost every morning I go to a CrossFit class. And again, it's that community aspect. I can't work out on my own. My co-host Jill prefers to work out alone and I absolutely cannot. And so the CrossFit classes, I go 4 to 5 times a week and it puts me in a really good place for the day.
Yeah. Oh my God. Whiskey, CrossFit, you and I are going to be best friends off the show. I'm like an avid CrossFitter. I just went in Costa Rica. I have an obsession with going to CrossFit in like every different country. I think I've done like CrossFit in like 50 different countries. So listeners, if you want to host me for CrossFit somewhere in the world.
Yeah, next time you're in the area. Yeah, let me know. We'll go.
So good. Next question for you. If you could turn back the time to your younger self, 16-year-old, 18-year-old self with a piece of advice you know now, what would you say to her?
I would say that you can tackle big things in little segments because I have been such an achiever all my life. And if I can't do something 100%, it really can hold me back from trying it at all. I would definitely tell my younger self that 5% at a time is okay. 75% is better than 0%, even if you don't fully do it.
So good. Last question for you, Jen. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
So it means having the flexibility to work when I want, how I want. I used to be one of these entrepreneurs that was, you know, gave up the 9 to 5 to work 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I, about a year ago, just stopped doing that and gave myself permission to live and work how I want versus kind of what is expected of how I should want to work.
Well said. Jen, tell us about the giveaway that you've got from one of the listeners.
Yes. So you mentioned my book, the No Spend Challenge Guide. No Spend Challenges are how I kind of started to discover core values and to figure out what I wanted. I would do these 30-day no spend challenges. And the things that I really missed are the things I would bring back into my budget. And then the things that I totally forgot about or didn't think about were things I knew I could easily cut out 100%. So instead of trying to like nickel and dime myself on every single category, I just got rid of what I didn't care about and kept what I loved without guilt. And so this book is all about how I did that. We've got the Kindle version for you and my latest book, Pay Off Your Debt for Good, which is a 21-day challenge to kind of get psychological and motivational skills needed to fulfill a multi-year debt payoff. Because we talk a lot about the saving and the earning, but there's a psychological component that isn't often touched on. And that's what this book goes heavy on.
So good. Unconventional Lifers, you can head over to the giveaway tab, unconventionallifeshow.com, to enter to win that giveaway. As a reminder, episodes air 1 week. The giveaways air 1 week after the episode airs. So go ahead and apply there and we randomly select somebody. Episodes are always out every single Monday. So make sure to catch them live if you never want to miss a giveaway. And Jen, for those that want to learn more about what you're doing, you know, obviously you have the awesome podcast, Frugal Friends podcast. You're active on TikTok and other different platforms. What's the best place for people to follow along and stay in touch?
So anywhere you're listening to this podcast, you can search for Frugal Friends Podcast. We've got 2 episodes a week talking about mindful spending and just different areas of your life, how to cut out the fluff and only keep what matters. And so you can also find us on Instagram at Frugal Friends Podcast.
Amazing. We'll throw all those links, Unconventional Life Shows, in the show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. Jen, thank you so much for your creative inspiration, for taking a very conventional concept and making it your own, as we do as creators in the world. And it was so great having you on the show today. I really appreciate your wisdom.
So great being here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, everyone.